Hey, if you're listening to that music, you know that this is a special edition of Spiritual Perspectives, looking at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. Every month that has a fifth Friday in it, we're here to talk to you from that direction, and the conversation is always open for you to join in. You can give a call if you have a question that you wanted to ask or a direction that I didn't think to go. You can just call in and join us at area code 415-543-8255 and join right in. So this is a special edition of Spiritual Perspectives. This morning we have a delightful guest. We're going to just have a blast because I'll do everything I can to make her nervous. Our guest this morning has been lifelong study as a Christian Scientist, lives with her husband and teenage son, and has used the universal laws of truth that she's studied through Christian Science for as long as she can remember. She's always had a deep desire to help others, and eventually found that for her, the best way to help others was through prayer. When friends and family members began asking her to pray for them, she started devoting her time in that way, and that led to a full-time practice as a Christian Science practitioner. She's been a public practitioner for a bunch of years now. This is a full-time practitioner in spiritual healing. So everybody, I'd like to introduce you to Julie Simpson. Julie, this is everybody.
Good morning, everybody.
And they're all here, millions of them, just to listen to you.
All there with you, I imagine.
And just for the recording, our program is initiating out of KEST in San Francisco and is simulcasting on KESTradio.com. So good morning, Julie. I'm so glad to have you here this morning. We are going to have an absolute ball talking about this because we're on a simple subject that, not very many people are all that interested in.
No, and it doesn't impact anybody's life at all, does it?
No. I sort of dubbed it marriage, a relationship or a battleground.
Yes, or a sanctuary.
Better still.
Which actually might be a stretch for some, but I looked the word sanctuary up in the dictionary, and it says a place of refuge and protection. I mean, isn't that a beautiful definition of what marriage could be?
How perfect.
Yeah.
I performed, I used to do some marriages, and I avoid them now because there's just too much pressure to have to get it all right the first time. But in one set of vows in a wedding that I did, part of their vows was each of them made the promise, I promise to treat as important those things that you feel are important, whether they make sense to me or not.
Oh, that is beautiful. That's beautiful.
I actually carried that forward and shoved it into the vows of almost every other wedding I did after that.
Well, it really speaks to the unselfishness that marriage teaches us, and that's wonderful.
Well, it struck me as being deeply profound, as in how much does it cost to respect what you think is important as opposed to undercut it because it's not important to me.
That's right.
It doesn't have that big of an expense.
Yes, it doesn't. And it really touches on a point that the humor of it kind of strikes me as well as just the importance of it, and that is that you don't need to understand someone to love them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a relief sometimes. There is such a, we feel, gosh, if I only understood, or if I could get, or if I could get him to understand me better. And we can love because we are, that is our nature. It's our divine nature to love and to be loving. And I know we'll get a chance to talk a lot more about this, and I'm really looking forward to it.
One of my favorite authors, Heinlein, has a favorite character that shows up in a number of his books, and the character generates some great quotes. One of his quotes is, if in any family argument you should suddenly discover that you're right, stop and apologize immediately. And I know in our conversations you've got a note about looking at relationships from a perspective of I don't have to be right all the time.
Yes, that's right. That has, you know, that just comes up all the time. And it really speaks to the sense of a power struggle. But when you take that power out of, when you take the struggle out, when you realize that we are not two limited, fallible mortals trying to do the best we can to figure things out together, when you look from the spiritual perspective, that we are two whole, complete ideas, images of God, as it says in Genesis 1 in the Bible, and that divine love has put us together for a holy purpose. Well, now that's a very different perspective, isn't it?
And so that brings me back to a quote from some notes I have. A quote from you that said, "I've had to go back to the basics of my true identity many times. It's like mentally shifting gears from a limited human perspective of what's presented right in front of me to the spiritual fact of my wholeness."
Yes. Yes. I'd like to share a story of how I came about finding that wholeness. Would this be a good time to do that?
Oh, perfect.
Okay, terrific. Because what had happened in my own life is that I'd had a series of very disappointing relationships. I'd been married and divorced twice, and then had a brief series of dead-end relationships. And this had really brought me to a low point because I felt that I was somehow stuck in a bad pattern. And that isn't, well, it's just a devastating feeling.
Yeah, it's really unsettling when you figure out the only constant in the equation was you, and the result was the same every time.
It was the same every time, and not good. But as you said in the introduction, I was raised and grew up in the Christian Science Sunday School, and it was there that I learned that God is love, and that I am His loving expression, and that God has only good for all of His ideas. So I knew that this spiritual fact was here with me. But what I realized is that I didn't have a clue of how to use this wonderful tool with marriage and with relationships.
Let's take it out into the field and test this tool.
Yes. Let's take it on a test run and a tool. I love that you said that because that's really what these spiritual facts, they really are tools for us to use. And I found that the more I use them, the more tools I have. And it's the most wonderful, expansive sense.
God's sneaky that way.
Yes, He is, in the good way. But anyway, getting back to my predicament, I knew and loved, and I knew I had these tools, but what I did was I called a Christian Science practitioner and let her know, and told her my tale of woe, and she didn't talk about marriage at all, and I thought that was really interesting. Instead, she talked about me and my true nature, my nature the way God had made me, whole and complete, and already including all of God's both male and female qualities. Now, does that make sense when I say male and female qualities?
Well, it's certainly my perspective that all of us have that yin
That's
and
it.
That
okay.
yang. I mean, we're definitely wired up that way with both parts of it. And that's certainly how I would see God, as an energy flow that has all of the yin and the yang. You can't, you sort of can't be all-encompassing if you're not all-encompassing.
If you're not all-encompassing, all means all, that's right. So what she really did is that she opened my thought. It was like opening up a window in my thought, and I suddenly realized that's how I use this sense of wholeness. I need to get better at seeing myself already including these wonderful qualities that I was looking for in a husband and claim them as my own. So I really thought about this, and I prayed over it, and I put all dating on hold. I just completely took that, I just put that aside. And instead, I made a list of some of the qualities that I would be looking for in a husband, qualities like understanding, honesty, loyalty, kindness, generosity, and anything that I could think of. And I began identifying those with me right now, acknowledging that I already included those. And then what I did is I just, when I went about my day, work and grocery store and what have you, I began to look for those qualities in other people and see those qualities and see them expressing those beautiful qualities to me. And it was a really interesting result. And it reminded me of, you know how it is when you learn a new word. For instance, I learn a word that I had never learned before, look it up in the dictionary, and now I know a new word. Well, I begin to see it everywhere. I see it in the newspaper. I hear other people hear it in conversation, and I hear it on television. When you become aware of something new, you do start to see it all around you. So,
Julie, I'm going to back you up because you just expressed a huge concept and really fast and just sort of tossed it away like it was obvious to everybody. Okay, so the first thing you did was you stepped out of the notion that what you were praying for was one plus one will make one. In other words, I'll find a partner and they'll complete me and I'll finally be one.
Exactly.
And you began to recognize the concept that what you wanted was one plus one makes three. Two whole individuals plus a relationship. But I'd like you to back up to the part of you begin to practice finding the qualities you'd wished for in you and then grocery store. Just hit that one more time because people can't hit a rewind, and that was brilliant.
Oh, good. All right. And really, that is so key. It's really key to our spiritual discovery and our spiritual growth to be claiming for ourselves what we've already been given. Because God's nature is good, and I include in quality every bit of God's goodness. So it, for me, it was a waking up to this, what I already had. And what a beautiful, that is such a beautiful sense, waking up to that I had this sense of understanding around me. Even if I saw, for instance, like at the grocery store, when I'll either see a father with a young, just a young child, and just, you know, tenderly talking or speaking to that young child, or maybe two teenagers that are just laughing and joking, and the lovely companionship that they have. Well, that's in my experience. That's companionship in my experience, and that's tenderness, and so on. So that's really, the way I was thinking.
Cool. And I know when I teach about this, I phrase it to people to create the energy state that they're wanting to be and then practice living that. And that sounds like that's what you were saying, is you stepped into the concept of, if I'm created in the image of God, I'm not created in a dented image that God said, you'll never be as good as me, but that literally I can step into that image of self, be that image, walk that image, breathe that image, radiate that image, vibrate at that image, and then watch it show up around me.
That's exactly it. The only thing that I would just tweak a little bit in what you said is that God has already created it. And that's what I'm seeing, what has already been created. And maybe that is just what you said too. But it's so helpful for me to be able to rely on that and go back to that God, as I say, Father, Mother, God, is my source. Oh, and this is something really neat too that I just came across when I was thinking about all this and preparing for my talk with you this morning, is I was thinking about the word source, and that's a wonderful word, because thinking of God as Father, Mother, as my source, in other words, my origin, as well as my source supplier. So my origin has made, my origins are with this divine nature, and then it's my divine parent that is continually supplying me from this unlimited source. Oh, I mean, isn't perfect. That wonderful?
That's absolutely perfect. Julie, yes. We're going to break away for just a second to
sure.
let me tell everybody. I've been outside already, and even in the city, it was crisp and cold, but clear. I think it's going to be a beautiful, clear day, but you're going to want layers today. But no matter where on the earth you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose. Hi, this is Scout, and you can have a private session with me, either a single session of self-understanding or ongoing development work for your spiritual path or unfolding the areas of your life that have been folded. We can work together individually, and I'm fully certified in all of the techniques that Christopher Howard uses in his groundbreaking Breakthrough to Success workshop so that we can work even in those directions. You can contact me by phone as 925-676-5189 or email me scout@lifeinsights.net. That's scout@lifeinsights.net. And you are listening to Spiritual Perspectives. Every month that has a fifth Friday in it. Every month that has a fifth Friday in it. Yeah, I think I hit a wrong button. Every month that has a fifth Friday in it, you get Spiritual Perspectives, looking at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. Our guest this morning is Julie Simpson, and I just hit a wrong button during the break, and so we'll get her back in just a second. But meanwhile, I wanted to let you know, there are a number of fascinating lectures coming up here in the Bay Area. The Church of Christian Science has profound presenters, and you'll be getting to hear a number of them presented here on the air. But what the Mill Valley Church has offered to do is to sort of be your resource. So let me roll through this. We've got God's Law of Abundance and the Divine Economy coming up in Menlo Park and San Francisco. Marta Greenwood, we've spoken with her before. We also have The Possibility of Prayer coming up in Los Altos. We have a Spanish lecture, and I'm not even going to try. La Oricon, no, I'm not going to try. That'll be coming up in Mountain View. And then we also have Evan Milnbacher coming up in Mill Valley Belvedere, talking again about the economy. So we've got workshops and lectures coming up in Menlo Park, San Francisco, Los Altos, Spanish language lecture in Mountain View, Mill Valley Belvedere, and here's how it gets easy. The First Church of Mill Valley is willing to sort of be your resource. So all you have to do is write down this one phone number, and then you can call them and find out exactly where the details are for these various talks. And so that phone number, if you're driving in your car, lick your finger, write it on the window. You'll be able to read it when you breathe on it. If you're at home, make a note of it right now. It's area code 415-383-2020. 415-383-2020, like vision, 415-383-2020. Give them a call, and they'll give you all the details for the talks coming up in Menlo Park, San Francisco, Los Altos, the Spanish language talk in Mountain View, Mill Valley, Belvedere, and a series of others. These are all amazing presentations, and in most cases, not only are they a gift to the community, as in no charge, but they also even provide childcare. So make a note of that number, 415-383-2020, like vision. 2020 Vision, 415-383-2020, and they'll be happy to give you the details of the various lectures coming up in your area. So we're going to come right back to Spiritual Perspectives. And this is Spiritual Perspectives, the program where we're looking at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. We're glad to have you back. Over the break, I went to pick up the phone line to tell Julie to relax, and instead I terrified her by dropping the call. Very, very interesting.
I wasn't expecting that.
gave you a good chance to drop back.
You really are trying to make me nervous.
Gave you a good chance to drop back into that true spiritual nature and go, uh-oh, now what do I do?
All is well.
So we've been chatting this morning about relationships as a sanctuary or a battleground, marriage. And Julie related that she did several experiments on how to do a relationship in such a way where you can escape quickly. So a sort of a quick period of catch and release. And stepped back to recognize that what she wanted to do was try a different approach, which was to embody everything she thought she'd been looking for from the other. And so we're talking about that, have embodied that, and have recognized that core essence of ourselves draws from our original source of wholeness, which is God, and spelling out an expanded picture that already exists of that wholeness. So we've left the grocery store.
Yes, we've left the grocery store, and finding, and now we're back in the car, I guess, experiencing our wholeness on the highway. Now that's something to do, isn't it?
I've often admitted that I think the last place I'm going to find my true unconditional love of humanity might well be on the highways.
Oh gosh, I mean, I think if you can express it there, you've got it made. So
you were following a practice of embodying your wholeness, whether you believed in it or not, and embodying your wholeness, whether your surroundings said, yeah, or
that's
whether
right.
your surroundings said, not so
much. That's exactly right. It's really like listening to that inner compass, and that's such a good analogy, I think, because it's confusing and a world often that we walk out the front door and head into. And yet if we have this spiritual basis and this spiritual sense to turn to, then that's where our peace and sense of order, because the spiritual sense doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great comfort. And really, that's where this practice of mine led me after acknowledging these wonderful qualities all around me. It began to really displace that sense of either loneliness or doubt, fear, and so on. And I began to really gain a sense of fulfillment and wholeness and completeness, to the point that I was really happy. I was actually happy. And what a relief that was. It's interesting, you know, because I think we make mental lists of what we want in life, and that's fine, and, you know, the things we want, the things we need. But what it really comes down to is that we want to feel fulfilled and whole and satisfied, don't you think? I mean, our lists are things to get in order to feel good.
Yeah,
I
look at that sometimes, that we're looking at the other and their love of us to be what reminds us of what we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, from this place then of really feeling happy, I just went about my business and enjoyed the people that came into my life and so on. And then in about 8 months, in a very natural way, I met the man who soon became my husband, and that's Steve. And earlier this year, we celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
So that's... That's our story.
So
I mean,
this
that's
brings
the beginning
up, yes,
of our story.
it brings up an interesting thought, Julie, because if we're looking at the notion of I step back into my wholeness and love my partner from my wholeness, as opposed to looking at them to be completing me,
yes,
it throws us into an interesting thing with, I've got a workshop coming up this Wednesday evening where I talk a lot about the checklists that
mm-hmm.
people put together. Where their whole focus is on, well, all right, you're an okay partner, but here's 27 things you've done wrong. And I know you've done an example with a big white sheet of paper and one small black dot.
Oh, yes, that's one of my favorite examples. I learned that in one of the many sales seminars that I went to. And you can always tell the new people at those seminars because the people that have been there before already know the right answer. But the guy stands up with a really huge, you know, very large piece of white whiteboard with one little black dot on it somewhere. And then he says, "What do you see on the board?" And then, of course, all the eager beavers say, "Oh, I see a black dot."
Mm-hmm.
And then the seminar director says, "On this entire white space, all you see is a black dot."
Yep.
You know, and it brings the point home.
Sometimes.
Well, it's a start, I guess.
And so how do you flip it upside down so that you can focus on the addition that Steve is in your life as opposed to the thing that just pushed your buttons and triggered you out of your wholeness?
Yes, that's a really good question. And I was thinking about that thinking about this for preparing for the talk here, that getting married, of course, you know, that was beautiful for us, but that was just the beginning. So there are a couple little things that I do.
I've read those storybooks. Everybody knows that once they make it to the altar, happily ever after.
It's happily ever after. Well, there's a reason why they call those fairy tales.
Oh, it's only happily ever after for the fairies.
Yeah, it's happily ever after for the fairies. The rest of us have to kind of work at it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things with Steve is that when we first met, or actually after we had met, and he took me to his place, he was fixing dinner for me, and I had never seen his home before, and he had these two wonderful cats, and my husband was a bachelor, very independent, and I thought it was really great that he had two cats. He kept them indoors. He really loved them. He really cared about them. But what touched me deeply is that he had a collection of cat toys right at the, you know, by the beginning of the living room, right at the edge of the living room. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? This man buys toys for his cats. And so, whoops.
I still have you.
Oh, good. Something sounded. Something
went wasn't us.
On. It wasn't you.
It
Good.
Was just excited kitties everywhere, insisting they needed more toys.
Oh gosh, yes. Sorry about that. My phone went funny for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, what a tender thing to do. You know, that's a very tender-hearted. So it's the good things like that that initially draw you to the other person that you look for and that you go back to. You're not, you know, it's not like you're making that up. I mean, that's a real quality that they have. That's not one of their unexpressed qualities. So I found that to be very helpful.
Well, there's a real place of stepping up in a relationship. One of the teachers I've studied with, Patricia Sun, has a phrase where she says, in any dispute in a relationship, if you're the first one that gets sane, it's your job to defuse the dispute. And Ruth Ann and I, at one point in our relationship, had a big fight over the fact that both of us thought that we were always the first one to get sane. And then we had to realize that the only one that notices they were the one that was defusing it is the one that's doing it. The other one just thinks their partner got reasonable all of a sudden. But
yes.
There's the whole place of be willing to do what it takes.
Yes, yes. I think that's so important. You know, there's that, I think it's just a fun and funny example of, well, it's your turn to take out the garbage, you know. And sometimes it just gets, you know, we get down to those things that are so irrelevant, really. And
it can be so cute how our mind can make it having to be our turn when we did it last into such a huge project, as if taking out the garbage was a 50-mile hike.
Oh, exactly. Exactly, and a big burden on somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something, though, that quite honestly, I really had to wake up to that and watch that because it tries to come into, it tries to impose itself on the marriage. And I think of that now as an just an outside, well, it isn't part of love and it isn't part of truth. So it's error or an erroneous aspect trying to really impose itself, not on me, but on the marriage. And just to be alert when that's happening, because in a marriage, you're partners, you're standing side by side to keep to and defending the marriage and keeping what is erroneous out.
And that's such a key element. I find that, and it for some reason it strikes people as bizarre, but it turns out that our brain, our mind, is actually ours to train, and kind of like, you know, a dog, it'll go wherever our attention goes. And our mind will so easily run away with, I had to take the garbage out last time. It'll so easily run away with keeping score and only focusing on the little black dot.
That's
rather
right.
than that bigger picture. So it takes a certain act of will to come back to that they're not owing me something for being my partner. I'm owing them something by being who I am.
Yes, yes. It really takes an act of what I call the Christ, and the Christ being that power of good and that power of God always operating with us in our human situations, that you know, that force for love and that force for good. And it's Mrs. Eddy in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures has a wonderful, it's a partial statement, but I think it's just great. It ties into just what you're saying. She says, mortal mind, and of course that's her word for you know, like false mind.
Yeah, all that little chatter, ninga,
the
ninga.
The chatter,
yeah.
That's right, the chatter. She says, when instructed by truth, and that's truth with a capital T, yields to divine power, which steers the body into health.
Say that
but
whole thing again.
It's wonderful, isn't it? Mortal mind, when instructed by truth, yields to divine power, which steers the body into health. And you could also say, I love these truth statements because they're so flexible. You could just put whatever whatever you're struggling with, just put it right into the statement. So, for instance, mortal mind, when instructed by love, yields to divine power, which steers the relationship into harmony.
Perfect, perfect.
Isn't that gorgeous?
So we're going to take a brief moment to honor our relationship with the radio station. We'll be right back, and I promise I'll keep you on the line this time,
Julie. Thank you.
This station is a proud equal opportunity employer. If your nonprofit organization would like to be contacted about future job openings at the station, please call 415-978-5378. Your organization will be added to our list of community organizations that wish to refer job applicants for future employment opportunities.
Gnostics is proud to join the Community Blood Drive and reminds us that giving blood is giving the gift of life. Right now, our blood supply is critically low, so please take the time now to give the life-giving gift, blood. Roll up your sleeves, open your heart, and make a difference that just might save a life. This important message is brought to you by Norvadis Diagnostics in Emeryville, another fine area business actively involved in our community. Get on your spiritual path at the Spiritual Healing Center. Meditate. Feel great. Don't hesitate. Join Carol Eccles every Tuesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Spiritual Healing Center. Expect a miracle. Change your energy and change your life. The Spiritual Healing Center is located at 260 East Blythedale Avenue in Mill Valley. Go on the web to thespiritualhealingcenter.com.
Hey, hey, when you hear that music, you know you're listening to Spiritual Perspectives. You can hear it periodically here, but it all originates from KEST 1450 San Francisco and simulcast on KESTradio.com. We archive these programs on the Life Insights website, so you can make a note to go to Life, L-I-F-E, Insights, I-N-S-I-G-H-T-S, lifeinsights.net. It's not a .com. Go to lifeinsights.net, click on radio, and you'll find where we've archived a number of our Spiritual Perspectives interviews. So this morning, we're talking with Julie Simpson, and we're talking about marriage, transforming marriage from a battleground and a me, 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 me into an us, 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 us. So Julie, we were just talking about retraining our own mind so that we're focused specifically into the joining of the relationship. I mean, one of the way I phrase that in some of my work is that I focus on my role is to do everything I'm able to do to enhance my aliveness and expand my growth and to share my life with my partner because they are an addition to it. And I've noticed that retraining a thought process so that you're focused on the addition suddenly lets you focus on the addition, and the current button push is just a button push as opposed to being keeping score. Do we have the phone back up? Oh, we don't.
Oh,
there we go. Now we do. I wasn't in charge
there?
Of that button. I didn't do it this time.
Well, we're having all sorts of fun this morning.
Absolutely. So, Julie, there's a place where you're talking about, instead of specific expectation, simply expect good things to happen.
Yes. Yes. And, gosh, you know, what a sense of relief that brings also. Expectations are can be such a bugaboo, because once again, it's putting something on another person. I really call that one of the burdens of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm expecting some specific thing for Steve to do, and you know, he's got no idea what that is.
Right.
I mean, that you know, like, how fair is that? I don't want him. The funny thing is, I don't want him to do that to me. And yet, you know, I've had to learn not to do that to him. But just taking again that little different view of it, and expecting good, you know that when you're expecting good, you're just not limiting anything. You know, it's the old saying, like I expected I really wanted a Volkswagen. That's what I had my thoughts set on, and God sent me what would it be today, like a Prius or something better than a Volkswagen. The old story used to be a Lincoln. I expected a Volkswagen, and God brought me a Lincoln Continental. But the point is that expectations can be so limiting, and that, you know, we're all about working to take off these limits, to bring more freedom about in ourselves and in our relationship, and a freedom to really express ourselves, you know. Let Steve be who he is and do, nice things for me in the way he wants to do nice things for me, and I can accept and just really love and appreciate that, and then vice versa as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the classic of... I've talked with guys where they'll mention that they were dating somebody and they went around and they fixed all the little things in the house that had been broken or not working correctly or not functioning. They took the time, they bought the tools, they made the hardware store runs, they fixed all of this stuff, only to find out that their girlfriend was just totally enraged with them because what they would have really rather had was flowers.
I love that example, and I have to laugh because it rings true. It really does. It rings true. So it's this willingness, again, to step back away. It's like mentally, or I think of it mentally, lift up your thought, lift out, up and out of that limited perspective. Again, like you said earlier, me, 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 you know, it sounds so funny to put it that way, but that's really what it is. Lift off that. and see what's really, get an expanded view of what's really going on. And it's so much better than what you could have imagined anyway and what you could have outlined.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, sometimes it's a matter of stepping back, and it becomes that in that example, the girlfriend was looking for flowers as being,
yes,
how they could find out whether or not he loved her.
Yes.
And I said, what you have to do is step back and look at what his language of I love you
That's
is.
Right.
And in his case, it was not a single hinge in the house squeaked anymore.
Oh, and really, she's got to admit that is pretty nice to have those hinges not squeaking anymore.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to jump way back to the beginning of our conversation, Julie,
sure,
because one of the things that you mentioned was that you found you as the center of an equation that was yielding a result you didn't like in your marriages and relationships. And
yes,
you went to a Christian Science practitioner. So effectively, you went to a healer. And this brings out one of the points that I make in a lot of my programs, which is healing is not to be reserved for disease.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Very good point. Very good point. Because healing is really, well, I'm going to use an example. I had a beloved Sunday school teacher when I was in college age, and in the Christian Science Sunday School, we have college for kids all the way up to the age of 20. So my last 2 years, I had this wonderful man, and he said, instead of using the word healing, he liked to use the word revealing.
Yes.
And isn't that just, it throws a different light on it, because revealing is like that beautiful word unfolding,
mm-hmm,
which is the opening up, opening and opening, an expanded view of something that is already there.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. And so you've made mention in some of my other notes that you found that friends and family members began asking you to pray for them, and you've devoted your life and become a practitioner yourself. So
yes,
I really love this. A question I ask in every one of our programs: what do you mean by that word, pray? What does that word,
yes,
mean for you?
Yes. Well, it means several different things. And I looked the word up in the dictionary, several dictionaries, and the definitions all had this common sense of asking, this idea of asking either God or a deity for something. And that's not my understanding of prayer, not asking, because asking is, well, if you ask, the answer could come back no. So that's, you know, then, but for me, prayer, just some of the things that come to mind with prayer is sometimes it's thank you. First of all, it's getting quiet. And boy, that in itself can be, you know, take a little time sometimes,
uh-huh,
in the busy lives and so on. But to get quiet, my thought very quiet, and like Jesus says, going into the closet, that sense of blocking everything out, and like I said, feeling grateful for what I already have, and grateful for the things that I have that haven't even been revealed to me yet, that haven't been yet unfolded, and then listening to the divine consciousness, divine mind with a capital M, divine love, and listen to see what love and mind are knowing right now. Since divine mind is all the all intelligence and the one universal creator of all of us, that's what I want to know, what divine mind knows about me. I heard it said one time, who better to ask if you've got a problem or whatnot, who better to ask than your maker? Ask your maker what he made you. He knows what he made you for. He knows what his plan is for you. So it's the getting quiet and listening to what my maker is saying, and just allowing that my my thought to line up with that all-powerful intelligence and love.
Mm.
Oh, and then really maybe another part, that would be one part. Another part would be, if, of course, if there's something specific, then it's like, show me what I need to know. Show me what I need to say or do. Like the beautiful, I use this often from Psalms 119, open now mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then
perfect.
Mrs. Eddy says something in her miscellaneous writings, which are a collection of articles that she's written, in a little article called Angels. She says, God gives us ideas, and in turn, they give us daily supplies.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Just want to remind people that you're listening to Spiritual Perspectives on KEST 1450 San Francisco, simulcast on KESTradio.com. Our program this morning is sponsored by the First Church Christ Science Mill Valley, and they're making a wonderful offer to you. If you're enjoying the concepts that that Julie and I are chatting about this morning and you want more depth underneath it, there are a number of internationally known speakers that are going to be in the Bay Area within the next couple of weeks. The locations will include Menlo Park, San Francisco, Los Altos, a Spanish language lecture in Mountain View, a lecture in Mill Valley, Belvedere. All of those different lectures will have these ideas underneath them and be an expansion everywhere from the divine economy and abundance across to the possibilities of prayer. So if you want more information for any of those locations, you can call the First Church in Mill Valley. Their phone number is 415-383-2020, 415-383-2020. And they've agreed to be sort of the central shopping point. So you can give them a call, and they'll let you know the details of where these various speakers will be appearing. We're talking this morning with Julie Simpson, and we're talking about the creation of, well, I'll just say the creation of relationship in marriage. And
yeah.
So I want to rattle through, because Julie, you've got 10 primary points. Number
yeah.
one is, one person can make a difference.
Yes, I'm so glad we got to that, because I think at some level everybody knows that, and you know, it's almost become trite to say you can make a difference. And yet, I want to share an example that has made a huge and immediate, a profound impact on me that brings it to light.
Fabulous.
And that is a mobile. You know, those hanging mobiles that all the different objects are hanging at a little different balance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you move just one of those objects on a mobile, all the other objects have to move to realign themselves to the one that moves.
Good point.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So if one person is growing and expanding and really practicing loving and getting unstuck and so on, everyone in that person's life is rebalanced upwards
mm-hmm.
in relation to that one person. So I just wanted to
mm-hmm.
add that to our discussion.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. So what about this one, being the right person as opposed to finding the right person or fixing them once you've landed them? Those lovely fixer-upper relationships. There's a diamond in there, but I think I can bring it out.
Oh, yes. I love that one. And I have to admit, I'm still working on that one a little bit. But being the right person, yes. Well, it just really ties into this overarching theme of being willing to step back from whatever is going on around, and whether it's something stormy come up in the relationship, but being willing to go to my higher nature and be either patient. patient with myself. You know, I this is really interesting because I figured the word patience would come up in our conversation about marriage. But what I, as I was thinking about that word patience, often it will come up in the context of I need to learn to be patient with my husband. But what has really been more true is that I've had to learn to be patient with myself, patient, and just become more patient. And the desire to become either more patient or more willing, you know, those desires are really a prayer and open the door for more patience or whatever is needed at the moment.
To be able to retrain that mind so that it comes
Absolutely.
Back to that spiritual perspective.
That it comes right back, yes. Yeah.
So you've got one more here that says we are all at a different place in our learning.
Yes.
What appear as conflicts are opportunities to learn important and perhaps even much needed lessons.
Yes, and as I was thinking further about that, I realized that we don't need to be afraid of those things. We don't need to be concerned or even shy away from the conflicts and so on that come up, because those are really the times when we learn our greatest lessons. Oh my. And it's really the time to step back and look at things, yes, from a spiritual perspective, yes, but being willing to look at it from my husband's perspective. You know, I have to admit,
yes.
Gosh, this is shameful to admit on the radio, but when after we were married, I was quite self-righteous, and he and I were a little bit older. Well, we had to be older because I went through all those, the time to go through all those bad relationships.
Let's see, but, started that first marriage at six.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let's just leave it at that. But really, I lost my train of thought there, and it was so important.
My husband, I'm ashamed to say.
Yes, that... in that we were both a little bit older, so we were mature and informed, I guess. We both thought we were quite well informed about things. And so I realized that I thought we'd have discussions, and I really thought I was right, and I was willing to drop it and not turn it into an argument. But I was honestly amazed at how often I was flat out wrong. I was just wrong.
Yeah, he actually knew stuff.
And that's humbling. But really, more than anything, it was funny that when I look back now, it was funny to think that. And we do get stuck on that, and that I'm right, and that bringing about, you know, and then that can. Explode into a conflict that's just can be just preempted at the beginning is what I'm saying. So yes, those are really times for our growth and times for understanding and compassion. Gosh,
brings me to this one. I love how you phrased it. Our spouses need our good good thinking about them. That's true support. Our spouses need our good thinking about them. That's true support.
Yes, that's right. And they need us to be in their corner and to be acknowledging all the good that's there. Yes, we all have areas that we need to grow. I mean, that's just obvious. But we can live with that. We can live with it that we're all learning and at different places. But yes, to just be able to really think the best of our spouses, that is true support, isn't it?
And then we have happiness. My happiness is not dependent or based on my spouse.
I think that is so important. especially in the age we live in, where turn on the television and it's just all about getting happiness somewhere else outside of ourselves. This is something that I'm just so thankful to have this growing spiritual awareness that happiness is my divine right. It not only a right, but as we've been saying all along, that I already include it. And my husband includes happiness, that we both include it, and we're here to share that happiness. That brings us to that equation. I love the way you said that, the equation of how did you put that 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 3? It's two people, and then a third thing.
The relationship. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. This is Spiritual Perspectives. The time goes incredibly quickly.
We've been chatting
this morning with Julie Simpson. One of the things that she's commenting on is stepping into marriage to form it as a relationship. It's this all-important mental shift from the material viewpoint, letting my circumstances choose my perspective, into the spiritual viewpoint, which has made all the difference in my life and where I've found healing, harmony, and transformation. She has 10 points that I'm going to rattle through really quickly that you can tuck in the back of your mind and play with today. One person can make a difference. 2, I don't have to be right all the time. 3, be willing to do what it takes. 4, magnify the good. 5, instead of specific expectations, simply expect good things to happen. 6, you don't need to understand someone to love them. 7, being the right person, as opposed to finding the right person or fixing the other person to make them right. 8, my happiness is not dependent or based on my spouse. 9, our spouses need our good thinking about them. That's true support. And 10, we are indeed all at a different place in our learning. What appear as conflicts are actually opportunities to learn important and perhaps much needed individual lessons. Julie, this has been absolutely a delight. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Scout. It's been a lot of fun.
Great. And this is Spiritual Perspectives. I want to remind you, you can find this program soon, not today, but shortly, archived on lifeinsights.net or the shortcut, because I'm Scout, not Scott. You can just go to notscott.com, click on radio, and you'll find an archive of Spiritual Perspective programming there, all coming out of KEST and simulcast on KESTradio.com. This is Scout Bartlett reminding you that no matter where in the world you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose. Treat yourselves as a loved one, because you truly, truly are.
As a listener to KEST,